This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of love and light, Christ of the living bread, blessed Holy Spirit coursing through our very cells, in and through each of us, open us to the awareness of your presence, that we may inwardly digest all that you would have us consume, all that you would have us be. Amen. Please be seated. So I know I'm dating myself when I tell you this story, because I don't know if people still do this today, but when I was a little girl, my friend and I witnessed my brother and his friend becoming blood brothers. Do people still do this today? Maybe not, but we witnessed it, and my girlfriend and I wanted to be blood sisters. And so what you do is you poke a little hole in the end of your finger, so draws a little blood, and you put your fingers together, and voila, you're blood sisters. Probably don't do it today. The CDC probably would come and carry you off, right? But what we were really doing was saying that we felt closer than friends, that we felt that we were connected in every way, and that we were family. We were blood. In today's gospel, the Jews, upon hearing Jesus say, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me," didn't know what he was talking about, and they figured he was saying something about cannibalism or something, and it's worth exploring just what exactly he was saying. Jesus of Galilee spoke a certain dialect of Aramaic, and being a Middle Easterner, he used Middle Eastern idiom that people would understand. Bread was like 60% of their daily diet, so it was the very life of life, and they would think of it that way. He was speaking in the whole Gospel of John to what we call the Johannine community, and so it's his closest followers, his disciples and his friends. They would know. The Jews that happened to be there this day hadn't a clue what he was talking about. So to give you an example of some of these idioms, after working to the point of exhaustion, a Middle Easterner might say, "I have eaten my body and drunk my blood." So we might say and be able to relate to this by saying, "I'm spent. I don't have anything left in me," when you're really tired. Right? So that's kind of understandable. This one is a little harder to understand, but when declaring a sacred bond of friendship, one might say, "I have eaten his bread. I will die for him." That was how they declared their loyal friendship, undying friendship. The Aramaic phrase, "eat the book," means make this book a part of your life. Consume it. It didn't mean you rip out the pages and eat the pages. But they would say, "Eat this book. Make it be you." We have something similar in a prayer that we are going to say as a collect several weeks from now, later in the season of Pentecost. And it was written by Thomas Cranmer. And it's about the importance of Scripture. And it starts out like this. It might be familiar to some of you. "Blessed Lord, who caused all holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life." Inwardly digest the words of Scripture. Eating the flesh of Jesus means to make his truth, his teachings, a part of our daily life in intimate, deep engagement. And though mysterious, we in faith, as followers of Christ, believe that he is still with us, helping us, guiding us, and we see evidence of that. And as Christians, we believe that something shifted in our evolution when Jesus Christ hit the planet. Something shifted. One author, whose name I can't remember, called it that Jesus was the evolutionary vanguard. I love that line. Something changed. Something changed. This human, who was also divine, and rose from the dead on the third day. So the teaching today asks us to receive what Christ offers, his very self, completely. And then to give, to live our lives as broken bread and poured out wine, so that we then become the Eucharist. We become a Eucharistic people when we go out from this place. There was a young man in our Tuesday night 20s and 30s Bible study this past week who summed it up really well. We look at this gospel, and in the summertime we're doing an ancient practice called Lectio Divina. Some of you might be familiar with it, where we really experience the gospel. It's a way of exploring how the gospel touches our personal lives. And so the last question is, how is God nudging you in your life in light of this scripture? And this young man said, I figure I'm being asked to be all in. All in. And that was exactly what I got out of it, to be all in. Each week when we partake of the bread and the wine, the body and blood, we don't just stay in the pews and listen as if this Jesus thing is some abstract, wonderful idea to be observed and considered and pondered. No. We have to get up. We have to put our hands out. We have to receive the wafer or the pita bread. We put it into our mouth. We have to chew it. We have to swallow it. We have to take the cup, receive it, drink from it, swallow it. It's an action. We take him into our very being. And what happens is beyond idiom or figure of speech. We are changed, and we don't know how, but we are made holy in that moment. It's a mystery, a divine mystery. Will Willimon, a gifted Methodist minister, says of this gospel, wouldn't the Christian faith be easier if it were a matter of mere belief or intellectual assent? No, today's rather scandalously carnal, incarnational gospel reminds us that Jesus intends to have all of us, body and soul. His truth wants to burrow deep within us, to consume us as we consume him, to flow through our veins, to be digested, to nourish every nook and cranny of our being. And he goes on, I have a friend who teaches theology at Oxford. He says that his toughest task is to ask and answer the question, what is theology about? His students tend to respond that theology is about spiritual matters or about religion or deeper meaning in life. He says, no. He teaches them that theology is about everything. The study of God is about everything. Jesus has come down from heaven with the intention of taking it all back. He wants all of us, and he wants us to have all of him. This God is so scandalously, intimately available to us. Whoever knows this knows how to live forever. End quote. We are being invited to see beyond our personal problems, any challenges that you have in your life right now, sitting here today. We're being asked to look beyond that, to know that this God, this powerful, almighty God is raising us up in this moment, giving us life and love that renews us and strengthens us when we're fearful or at our wit's end. He says, know that in me you live and move and have your very being. We become, as St. Chrysostom wrote, flesh of Christ's flesh, bone of Christ's bone. You know, over the last many years, probably five anyway, I'm sure we've all heard people say, and we hear it today as if it's something brand new, that they are spiritual but not religious, right? Well, I have come to think of that now in a new way. When I first started hearing it, I thought, oh, well, maybe that's a reason people don't come to church. But I think that it speaks to this divine longing that we all have for something besides just coming to a place every Sunday and just going through some words and then going on our way and living our life however we want. This book that I've been reading lately, Celtic Christianity by Timothy Joyce, it's a great little book, and he defines spirituality in a way that I hadn't heard before. He says, spirituality refers to the lived dimension of faith. How faith is lived out in everyday attitudes and behavior. Spirituality has to do with the soul and body in their expressions of love, with how the world is seen and appreciated, how one views humanity and its place in the cosmos. And then we come here, my sisters and brothers, to remember that, of how we are to live. Our religion re-ligaments us, re-ligio, connects us back to who we really are and whose we really are in this world that can be very difficult to navigate at times. This is the spiritual food that the world has always needed and that we who come here this day long for, because this food contains our hope in love and in light. And it is an exciting but a risky invitation. It may call for great change and struggle and sacrifice. In a few moments, we are going to baptize Ava Madison. And her parents and her godparents are taking on a responsibility, and all of us are going to be saying that we will take this on too, to live our lives as Christians and to help and teach her to do the same. She's being welcomed into Christianity today. And we all take vows to raise her in that way, in a committed way. So you are making a bold move today, Ava Madison's family and godparents. And we honor you for that. All of us may balk when we hear Jesus' commands to love our enemies. You want me to eat that, Jesus? Turn the other cheek when offended? Really? To look at my present problems as potential gifts? You want me to take a knife and a fork and dine on that? We just might have to loosen our grip on being right. We have to pray for an understanding mind, like Solomon did, and a discerning heart to know what's of God and what isn't in this frequently crazy world. And we might have to have the courage to speak the truth in love, or to say, I'm sorry, or I don't know, to forgive a grudge. And slowly we realize that in helping others, we help ourselves. When we go into the Eucharistic prayer today, you'll hear the words that you hear every single week. The words of institution that no matter what Eucharist we do in this church or anywhere in the Episcopal Church, we are commanded to say the words of institution. And they go like this: take, eat, do this for the remembrance of me. It doesn't say take, eat, observe this for the remembrance of me. This is an action that Jesus wants us to do. We take and eat, and then we do this. We walk in the light and living of love, following the truth of Jesus Christ. And we too are healed from the inside out, that we might help and nourish and lead others to do the same and transform this world. Let us pray. Generous God, send us now with faith and courage to the hungry, to the lost, to the bereaved, even if it is ourselves. In our living and our dying, we become what we receive. Christ's own body, blessed and broken, cup overflowing, life outpoured, given as a living token of your world redeemed, restored. Amen.